All right, killing it. Woo, hope you guys have been enjoying this series that we started a couple of weeks ago. We've talked about killing pride and killing insecurity, and today we're going to be in Psalms chapter 3. But before we get there, I need your guys' help with something. Pastor Richard and I and the team is going through a consultant to try to help us as a church to become more healthy. We want to do everything we can as pastors to make sure that we're doing the best job when it comes to ministering to you guys, ministering to our community. And one of the things he's going to be going through with us is talking about our finances. And so we're going through I need you to help me with this. I need you to take a survey. I need 100 people to take this survey. We have 40 of individuals that have already taken this survey. So if you go to our Facebook page, you see it there. It says Bethel Clarksville Church Health Survey. If you click on that, please fill out that survey. It'll take you about 10, 15 minutes, and that will really help us continue to grow and do the best that we can here at Bethel. So visit our Facebook website, and please do that. So we're in Psalm chapter 3 today. Psalm chapter 3. I'm going to read Psalm 3, and then we're going to read Genesis chapter 15. We're going to read two verses from Genesis chapter 15. Now, Psalm 3 is a psalm that this guy named David, who was the king of Israel, that he wrote. Here we go. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes or my enemies? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. He says, I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Genesis 15, two verses here. This is Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And then Abram said, O Lord, God, what will you give me? Or basically what he's saying is, how will I know that you are a shield, that you are with me? You know, here at Bethel, we are called to really help you become a passionate follower of Jesus. That is a disciple here at Bethel Community Church. And really the reason why we're doing a series like Killing It is because you cannot be full of fear. You cannot be full of condemnation or pride or doubt or insecurity and be a passionate follower of Jesus. Jesus has called us to walk free. And a lot of us today, we're enslaved to these emotions or these things that maybe have happened in the past that have created some of these emotions in our life. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at Psalm chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 15, and it's going to help us today. When you read about David all throughout the Old Testament, what you see is that he really faced many emotions. In fact, he faced a lot of the same emotions that you and I, that we face today. And here in Psalm chapter 3, David is writing about an emotion that really all of us face. And that is the emotion of fear. David here is running for his life, running from his son Absalom, who's after him and trying to kill him. And what we see as we read our Bible that David actually found a way to overcome fear in his life. What I love about the book of Psalms is it's very raw. It's very real. I mean, look at some of the things David says here. He talks about, oh Lord, break their teeth. I don't know about you, but I like that. Man, punch them in the mouth, Lord. See, these are things about the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is talking about, man, kill them, annihilate my enemies, destroy my enemies. I mean, if we were to say that today, if David was living in today's world, we would think to ourselves, David, you're not being a real good Christian. You're talking too mean. But man, David's saying these things. The Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. I love this. In one sentence, David's like, oh Lord, I bless you. I love you. Next minute, he's like, kill them, Lord. Destroy them. See, it really is a very raw and intense book. David would not be a good politically correct Christian, Pastor Richard, in today's world. But here's the reason why it's so raw and so real. It's because Psalms actually gives you and I a unique approach to how to handle our emotions. And what we're going to talk about today may be an approach that you have easily overlooked. Because if you find yourself in religious circles, what I mean by religious circles, I'm not talking about Bethel. I'm talking about trying to serve God without having the power of Jesus in you. Trying to white knuckle it. Do your own thing. Man, I got this. When you find yourself in that type of circle, religious circles like that, they'll tell you things like, man, you just need to deny your emotions. You just need to act like they're not there. Push them to the side. Well, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of emotion. They're kind of hard to push to the side. If you get in these religious circles that are very charismatic, they'll say things like, man, you don't need to confess that, if you've heard that before. For instance, they might be sick. Somebody might be sick, and they say, well, I'm sick, but I'm not confessing it. Or, man, I got my arm's broke, but I'm not confessing it. I'm thinking, brother, your bone is sticking out. Your arm is broke. Go ahead and confess it. It's just weird. The Bible says, actually, that you can have faith and actually consider, because it says that Abraham, what, considered his own body as good as dead. Well, that means he looked at himself and said, I'm old, she's old. But what does it say? But with respect to the promise of God, he grew in faith. So the religious circle tells us to let's deny it, push it aside. Now, the secular circles or the secular world, what they teach us is we need to express our emotions. We need to talk about our emotions. We need to follow our emotions. Songs like Listen to Your Heart. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you follow your emotions too far, they will lead you the wrong direction, my friend. Your emotions will take you places you don't want to go. So how do we as believers, because emotions, pride, insecurity that we talked about, fear. I mean, fear doesn't, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how much money you have, what job you have, what status you have, what rank you are. I don't care. Fear impacts every one of us. So how do we handle our emotions, specifically as we address fear today? And this is what I believe, and you may have never thought this before, but we actually can pray our emotions. We can pray them. See, a lot of us have this perception about God that we always have to come to God full of faith, full of life. Like he doesn't really know what's going on. God knows you're afraid. God knows you're scared. God knows you're full of pride. But we think we got to put this persona on that, man, I got it all cool, God. No, he knows we actually can be very raw, as the book of Psalms is, and bring our emotions and our struggles to a loving heavenly Father who cares for us. We can bring them to him. And today we're talking about an emotion, again, that all of us battle, and that is fear. And so Psalm 3 is going to help us. See, in Psalm 3, as we opened up here, David, he is afraid. He's running from his son Absalom. And the great thing about David, and why we're really looking at him, is because if you continue to read on, you'll actually see that David found a way to overcome fear. Even though he was battling all these emotions and how he felt and he wanted to run away, he found a way to overcome it. He says things like, I lie down, I sleep amongst my enemies. He knew he had a secret that you and I need. David found a way to pray his fears to God so that he could handle it and so that it would not handle him. So how do we do this? Well, biblically, I believe that fear and anxiety are cousins. They run together. Kind of fear, anxiety, and worry. I mean, they all run in packs. They run together. Both of these are debilitating. They paralyze us. If you've ever been through a traumatic experience, maybe something happened when you were young, maybe because of your job, you've been through something very traumatic. And so when we go through things like that, oftentimes, what does it do? It creates fear. It creates anxiety. It creates worry in our lives. And we can think back and say, man, this is why I'm struggling with this. But sometimes fear is very diffuse, meaning it's spread out. It's detached. Some of us here today, we don't know why we battle with worry and anxiety and fear. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like everything's about to end? Why am I struggling with this anxiety and always thinking something bad is going to happen? See, this is what David was facing. He was down at the bottom facing fear. And what was he going to do about it? Was he going to tuck tail and run? Or was he going to rise up and allow God to do something in him that allowed fear to begin to be removed in his life? Verse 1 shows us that many wanted David dead. They were after him physically. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to do physical harm to him because Absalom, his son, wanted the throne. But also, as you read verse 2, what you begin to see, it wasn't just him physically being attacked, his identity, who he was, what he did, was actually being attacked. Because you have to read this Psalm chapter 3, especially verse 2, in the light that David is what? He is the king. David is the ruler of Israel. And he's on the run. So what's he going to do? Thank God for verse 3. Because verse 3 is for every one of us today. Whether you're facing fear, whether you say, Pastor Lance, I'm afraid, I'm scared, I don't know what's going on in my life. Thank God for verse 3. What does verse 3 start with? But you. Man, thank God for the buts of the Bible. Because the buts of the Bible always point to the promise that you and I have in God. He says, but you, O Lord, what does he say? Are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. Today we're going to look at really four ways. Now this could be a four-part series, but we're going to make it one message, all right? I'll get you out on time. Don't worry about that. So four ways, how to really start the process. Because I believe it's a process. Sometimes people will say, all you need to do is believe this and bam, it's gone. Well, it doesn't work like that for me, so probably not for you either. It's a process to see fear and anxiety and worry begin to fall in your life. It's going to be these four things, and we're going to hit them. Follow the path. They all come from Psalm 3 and Genesis 15. Follow the path. Relocate your glory. See the substitute. And remember the people. So number one, follow the path. I love what David says here in verse 3. He says, you are a what? A shield about me. Or some of your versions, and this is another word for it, around me. Notice that he doesn't say, you are a shield to me. Or you're a shield for me. But he specifically says that you are a shield around me. You are a shield about me. In battle, there are two shields that these soldiers used. First off, they had a smaller shield that would fit on their arm. And they were able to move that shield for combat as they held their sword or yielded their sword. But also, there was another shield. And this shield was almost as big as a door. And this shield would almost wrap, you've probably seen it in movies sometimes, would wrap almost all the way around them. This shield is used not in hand-to-hand combat, but this shield was used as they followed their general into the enemy's territory. You only use this shield when you're going into horrible danger. This shield does not take you away from the battle. This shield actually leads you and guides you as you follow your general into battle. So what David is saying here, David is saying, Lord, I'm scared, but I remember you are a shield about me. You are a shield around me. See, he's not saying, God, I'm scared, and I know you will lead me away from bad things happening to me. Man, notice this. But what he's saying is I know bad things are going to happen to me. I know I'm going to be led into battle, but I'm remembering that what? You are a shield around me. You're about me. You're with me. And the thing about this shield only protects you as you move into the battle. It doesn't protect you when you tuck tail and go the other way. It protects you as you begin or you actually move forward following your general. See, here's the crazy thing about being a Christian. You didn't expect this. When you signed up and said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. A lot of times pastors begin to communicate and preach, oh man, follow Jesus, everything will be great. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Following Jesus is tough. It's difficult. And the reason why is because Jesus, your great general, doesn't lead you away from the battle. Baby, he leads you into the battle. He leads you into your fears. He wants you to face them knowing that what? God, you are a shield about me. You are around me. This is amazing. That Jesus, my general, is not shielding me from my fears or my danger. He shields me actually what? In my fears or with my fears. He's a shield about me means that even though bad things may happen, even though chaos may break, even though something painful, something bad happens in your life, that doesn't mean he is not a shield about you. See, get this. If God allows something bad to happen to me today, now this is so hard to understand, but it is true. It means he's protecting me from something worse happening tomorrow. In God's sovereignty, If he allows hurt to come to you today, he's protecting you, friend, from a greater pain coming to your life tomorrow. He may allow loss. Again, this is tough. Now, so there is not a greater loss later. I don't understand this. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But I'm not the Almighty. He is. He's the all-sufficient one. He's the all-knowing one. I'm trusting him with my life. That's what I'm saying when I say, Jesus, come be Lord of my life. God, I'm trusting you. So whatever happens, I'm still going to follow my general into the battle, no matter what. I'm not going the other direction. I'm only going forward. Pastor Lance, will following Jesus, following my general, will it lead to disappointment and struggle in my life? Man, I wish I could say no. But the fact of the matter, it is yes. It is tough. Following Jesus sometimes leads to disappointment. It leads to struggle. But Jesus, he understands what it means to face fear, anxiety, and worry. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible tells us he began to sweat drops of blood. Now, you don't sweat drops of blood because you're sad, because of sorrow. You sweat drops of blood because you're battling fear, worry, and anxiety. Now, let's remember, even though Jesus was 100% God, he is God in the flesh, he was also 100% human being. So what that means is that he experiences, this is why he understands what you're going through. He experiences the same emotion, or he did experience the same emotion that you and I experience today. Jesus was also following his general. Get this. He was following his general knowing that his general was leading him to a tomb. He was going to die. But he went anyway. Could it be the same for us? Obeying Jesus seems crazy at times. Obeying Jesus is confusing at times. Obeying Jesus hurts at times. Obeying Jesus sometimes just makes you want to give up and quit. But like David, he knew my general is not leading me away, but he's leading me into my fears, to battle them, to face them, knowing what? The great promise that he is a shield around me. And this shield can only protect me as I move forward, not as I go the wrong direction. But also what we see as we continue on in this chapter 3, you see that David also, he followed the path of his general. But also David says in verse 3, he says, but you are my glory. He says, you're my shield. But then he says also, but you, Lord, are my glory and the lifter of my head. Number 2 here is we have to relocate our glory. David would not say, but you are my glory, if something else has not been his glory other than God. Remember how we talked about that David, he was not just being attacked physically, but his whole identity was being attacked? See, what was going on was the people were getting upset at David. You see it right there. He says, many say, in verse 2, many are saying there's no salvation for him in God. But what we got to do, we got to kind of look back in David's history. David followed a man named Saul. And one of the things that David never wanted to happen was his leadership to be compared to Saul's leadership. Because Saul failed miserably. Saul failed because God took his promises from his life. And so what was going on here is that they were basically now saying the very same things they were saying about this guy that he never wanted to be related to, this guy named Saul. And now they're saying, just like Saul was, King David or David must be the same way. And it's an attack, what? On his identity. I mean, he's the king. But he's running from who? His own son. That didn't look like much of a king. He's losing control. He's losing his people. He's losing his family. And so he is being attacked. And so what's happened, though, is really unassuming. He didn't really unaware. David was unaware of this. But what was going on in David's soul was David was beginning to find glory and hope and trust in who he was and what he did. Instead of who? Instead of God himself. Man, this is the same things that happens to you and I. He was locating his glory in who he was and what he did. See, a lot of times, most of the times, if we can't put our finger on it, remember, maybe it's a traumatic experience and sometimes we can put our finger on it, but sometimes when we can't, could it be that we're facing this fear, this anxiety, because something good in our life, like our jobs, our relationships, our status, our rank, or how much money we'll make, or maybe it's what people think about me. I'll be honest with you, that's what I struggle with the most. I want you to like me. But the problem is, there are going to be times that what? You don't like me. Not everybody in Clarksville comes to Bethel Community Church. And so for me, it can be so easy for me to begin to find my glory in what you think about me. The problem is what you think, what your job is, how much money you got, all of that is finite. All of that is vulnerable to the things of our world. I have no control, it has no real power. And so if I begin to build who I am on that, oh my gosh, when that begins to get attacked, just like David, guess what? I have nothing to stand on. And guess what replaces it? Fear, worry, anxiety. All these different things begin to come and consume my life, but because my glory is in what I do. See, what's glory mean? Glory means weight. It means significance. I've given greater significance to you instead of God. Or maybe it's for you. It's your job or your community or your rank or whatever it may be, your status and how much money. I don't know what it is. But could it be today that you're facing those fears, that anxiety, that worry, because your glory is located in the wrong place? Not that these are bad things, but these things are vulnerable. These things are finite. We need to put our hope and trust in something that is infinite, something that is eternal, something that's long-lasting. So what do? We do exactly what David did, what he said, but you, Lord, are my glory. We relocate our glory. God, whatever I do does not define me. Whatever my neighbors think about me does not, who cares what everybody else thinks? Now, I care a little. I mean, I don't have holes in my jeans and looking sloppy up here, so obviously I care, but you know what I'm talking about. My significance doesn't come from anybody else but God himself and what he has to say about me. So I got to relocate my glory. David says, you are the lifter of my head. What that means is that I can hold my head up high because God, he's for me. God, he loves me. God, he's standing with me. But the funny thing is, and this gets us into the next one, so follow the path, relocate your glory. But here's the thing. David, he's not doing a good job in Psalm chapter 3. Again, let's go back. Let's look what's happening, what's happened. Because of David's leadership, or lack of, he's committed adultery with Bathsheba, had a baby out of wedlock. He's losing his kingdom. His people are going elsewhere to find leadership. He's being a bad friend. He's being a bad king. He's being a bad man of God. But somehow, some way, David is able to say, God is still proud of me. How in the world? I mean, if I was to stand up here and tell you, I'm a bad husband, I'm a bad leader, I'm a bad dad, I'm a bad worker, I mean, I would think to myself, man, there's no way I could ever say, God, you're proud of me. Look how awful I'm doing. It'd be impossible. But this man, David, was able to still say, Lord, you're still proud of me. Lord, you are with me. After all this has happened, man, what's going on? See, it leads us to verse 3. David saw the substitute that took his fears and his failures. Verse 4, he says what? I will cry to you, talking about to God. And you, God, can hear me because of something. Here's the substitute. Because of your holy heel. Oh, this is good. What is the holy heel? The holy heel, friend, is where the tabernacle was located. The place of sacrifice. And this is where Genesis 15 helps us. In Genesis chapter 15, see, David knows his history. David knows who Abram, who became Abraham, who he was. He knows, he's read his Old Testament. He understands. He's heard the stories. He understands that this guy, Abraham, man, that he had a relationship with God. And I just can't help but think that David is thinking back for us, Genesis chapter 15, about Abraham. Because the very same words are used in Genesis 15 that are used right here in Psalm chapter 3, talking about God being what? A shield. God comes to Abraham, and he tells God, God tells Abraham, Abraham, I'm a shield about you. I'm with you. He says, I'm going to bless you. But Abram, he's smart. Most of us would be like, oh, thank you, Lord. But Abram asked a good question. He says, how do I know? What a great question. God, how do I know you're with me? How do I know you're proud of me? How do I know that you're for me? And God comes to Abraham. See, and he says, Abraham, we're about to take a vow together. He said, I want you to go out, get some animals, cut them up. This is how they did contracts in those days. Man, we need to get back to that. Because it's signing our name. If I violate, who gives them? Well, sorry, I ain't going to say that. But I sign my name, whoop-de-doo. But if we cut something bleeding everywhere. Man, this thing is serious. I got to think about fry sign. I need to go back to that, Pastor Richard. Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. We ain't going back to that. But anyways, so here's what Abram's thinking. Abraham's thinking, I am about to make a promise to God. But something radical is about to happen. He falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, he begins to see all the dead animals he just cut up. Because why? Him and God's about to make a vow to one another. But he thinks, I'm going to make a vow to God. But he sees a torch pass through the sacrifices. And what was happening is Abram realized, hold on, I'm not making a vow or promise to God. He is making a promise to me. And God is saying, if I don't fulfill, Abram, what I'm telling you I'm going to do, let me be as these sacrifices laid, cut up, mutilated, destroyed. Who do you think that points to? Oh, my gosh. It points to our great substitute, Jesus Christ. This is how David, see, he knew, he thought back. And for us, we have to, hold on, Jesus, my great sacrifice, went to the cross for me. God for me. It wasn't me making a promise to him. He made a promise to me that he's proud of me, that he's with me, that he's a shield about me. Even when I face fear, even when I face worry, I know that my God is with me. You talk about fear starting to fall, baby. Remind yourself of who your substitute really is, that he's your glory, that he's the one that lifts your head. That he's the one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That he's the one that said that the promises are for you. This is what we have in Christ. This is why Jesus is proud of you and I, no matter what's going on. It's because what the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. He's our substitute. We have to remember. We have to see the substitute. My keyboard player can come on up. See, the Bible says, we get to our last point here, but the Bible says, perfect love does what? Cast out all fear. Now, I begin to think to myself, I would think because the opposite of fear is faith. So why does it not say perfect faith cast out all fear? And the reason why it says perfect love is because, again, it's pointing to the substitute. Perfect faith would point to who? Me. I got to have something. I got to bring something to the table to see this fear gone. God is amazing, but it's the exact opposite. It's perfect love. He brought it all to the table. He did it all for us. And so him being our substitute that we look to, the perfect love, fear and anxiety and worry, it begins to fall. No matter what. No matter what. Some of you here today, you might be facing death. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe you're going into battle. You might be saying, I don't know if I'm going to live. Even in all that, you can have full confidence that he is a shield about me. Even if I do die. praise God, I'm going to be with him. The enemy's not going to win. Fear's not going to win. Anxiety or worry are not going to win. Jesus is going to win every time in your life. And the last thing is this. You have to remember the community. Verse 7 and 8. He talks about this. He says, verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing beyond your people. See, David knew that I just don't want to be free from fear by myself. I want it for my people. Fear, oftentimes, it comes and goes. I'm doing good 1 week for a month, but man, it starts because, wow, we live in the flesh. It's going to come back. I would like to relate it like this. See, the voice of the enemy, him talking to you, telling you crazy stuff, you're always going to hear the voice. It's always going to be there. Don't believe the lie that, man, the voice of me is totally going to go away. It's always going to be there. But here's what happens in Christ. When you give your life to Christ, the voice of God goes up and the voice of the enemy is turned way down. I still hear him every once in a while. But then I hear my great Savior with a megaphone screaming at me who I am, telling me I belong to him, telling me who I am in Christ, and my life is hidden with him. He's pulled down, God's pulled up. And so the same kind as with fear. Fear is going to come. Doesn't mean I'm not a good Christian if I'm battling with fear. But what it means is, this last thing is, I got to remember the community. This is why God brings us together. It's why we talk about coming to church, getting involved in a community group, like going to Starting Point. That's a great first step for us. We always say the journey begins in Bethel with Starting Point, and it continues in community. We talk about community, we talk about our community groups. You know, one of the great ministries that we have partnered with as Bethel is a ministry called Reboot. It's ran by Evan and Jenny Owens. They're graduating 17 individuals from Reboot this Monday night. We're going to do it right here at the church. This is a ministry that people have gone through traumatic experiences. They can, because, oh man, those traumatic, they bring a lot of confusion into our life. They help be able to process, work through that. We have other community groups here at Bethel so you can plant in, so you can lock arms. I mean, sometimes I need Jesus with flesh on it. I love Jesus up here in heaven, but I need him with flesh on it. So sometimes I just go to Pastor Richard. Come on, rub on me, Pastor Richard. Pastor Richard, rub on me a little bit. I need to know he's with me. And this is what spiritual family community does. Father, we love you so much.